Hey guys, welcome back to the Just Church podcast. I'm actually so nervous today. This is without a doubt my millennial heart, the icon of my generation. You really are the Marilyn Monroe of our generation, Heidi Montag.
What an intro. Thank you.
First of all, I'm so nervous, but also you're so easygoing and chill that I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you.
I love it because I have a photographer that comes and takes pictures. You're like, can I bring a photographer? I was like, this is so Heidi and I love it.
Yeah, I was like, can't wait. Is that good? The more, the merrier. So
much fun taking pictures, and you Snapchat and TikTok all the time, which is my dream friend in the whole world, because I would do that too. I feel stupid, but then when you do it, I'm like, I love this girl. This is like what I love.
No, you gotta do it, and it's like, who cares, right? You gotta get the content.
Yes.
And if you miss that moment, you're missing the content.
It's
so I just gotta
so true.
You just gotta do it.
You're so
bust
good
it
at
out.
It.
Thank you.
Do you actually genuinely like love it, or do you have someone being like, you need to be posting?
I think it's organic.
Yeah.
So it's not even whether I like enjoy it or not. I actually love the memories myself and watching it. Mm-hmm. So I think like, oh, I have this moment of my life that I won't get back. So I kind of just immerse myself in the world and it is what it is, right? It's part of our culture.
I think that's what's so fun. I watch back my own TikToks all the time. I'm like, oh, this was so fun, you know?
That was so good. I can't believe I didn't get more viewers.
It's kind of everything. No, you guys are like TikTok, like you really are masters at TikTok. Spencer was filming, he was live on TikTok during your birth.
Yes.
How was that? Were you excited about it or were you like, okay, this is a lot?
I was like, we need a code word. Like you put it down. So actually, I thought I was going into labor the day before, mm-hmm. which was perfect because then that was the test trial. I had my hair, my makeup, we got all the content. Then I went home because I was like, I'm not going to stay in the hospital for 8 hours.
Right.
Or whatever. I'm like, can I go home? Because I want to like sleep in my bed and get my son off to school and get new hair and makeup in the morning. So I went home at like 11 and then I went into labor the next day at 10. So we had all the content. We had the live. We had the test trial.
Oh.
And then when we went the next day, there, I gave birth 45 minutes after getting the hospital.
Oh my gosh.
So we had no time because my first labor was 5 hours without an epidural.
Wow.
And then I was like, okay, I know it's going to go faster and I'm not going to get the epidural because I feel like it slows things down sometimes.
Really? I didn't know.
So I was like, I'm going hard and fast. And I was like praying the whole time and I'm like, okay. And I like visualized my birth and you know, you can draw it out or however you feel.
Yeah.
And each birth went exactly how I was hoping and wanted. And it was such a blessing. But we got all the content the day before because the next day we had no time.
Oh, okay. So when he was going live, you were not really going into labor then.
Yeah, it was like pre-labor.
Wait, so did you think you were having contractions? I never heard of that.
I was having contractions.
Oh, I see.
But they were the like night before contractions
because okay.
contractions can be, what, a few days or whatever.
Yeah.
And my water semi-broke the next morning and I wasn't sure because I was like, did it break? Did it not? And
yeah.
then my doctor's like, get to the hospital right now because my contractions then came so hard and fast I couldn't even like breathe.
Oh my gosh.
And Spencer's
like,
we're like rushing to the hospital. Spencer's driving us safe and you know to the speed limit as possible, but we're one of those movies where they're like, get to the hospital.
It's the worst. Yeah, once it breaks and you have those contractions, I like could not even see or breathe, or I didn't even know the epidural went in. I was just like, I was swearing, I was cussing, it was awful, and I never thought I'd be that person. But
are you ready?
I'm ready because now we're doing a scheduled C-section because I had a C-section last time. I really wanted to push. We tried pushing for like 4 hours, was like not happening, and then they're like, okay, we should do a C-section.
Yeah.
And personally, just from the stories I heard, I feel like I pushed for 3 hours. It was like so hard. They were putting oxygen on me. And then the C-section seemed so easy. I was like, wow, 10 minutes. I should have done that to begin with, you know?
Perfect. Exactly.
Yeah.
If it's whatever way is the easiest and best, that's the best way.
I wanted to do vaginal right? look. I feel like I missed out. I really do feel like I missed out on like the birthing experience and getting the baby right away. And
you got it.
You had
your own. You know, it's like those movies are like the scheduled C-sections, you know?
Yeah. So. That way I can go with hair and makeup. Before I was like, I had the contractions I didn't know and I just couldn't even shave or do anything. I was like, I'm going right away.
Right.
But I love the glam girlies of it. And you said right before we started, you're like 1 to 2. It's actually as awful as they say. Not awful, but it's horrible transitioning.
<awful. laughs> Yeah. It's like 1 to 1 million. It really is. And I'm a very capable, hands-on, I feel like good mom. And with the two, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling very pushed.
Feel it.
But
yeah.
I like a challenge in life, and I don't like things easy, obviously.
It's exciting.
Yeah, I like exciting. I like to be pushed to my limits. I like to, you know, so for me, two is ideal and perfect, and it feels like a really full
complete
family. Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you guys talk about it because you're like, unless it's God's plan, Spencer's like, it's not.
Yes.
Talk to him. It's not his plan.
I know, totally. So I'm like keeping you know, an open mind if God ever had a different plan. But at this point, I'm on Spencer's.
You're with him.
Yeah. I'm like, you're right. No. Thank God. I don't think we're capable of one.
Yeah.
More.
It is wild, actually, to think about that. I think three. I'm scared of 1 to 2 because 0 to 1 was hard for me. And like 1 to 2, I'm like, but it's happening. It's coming.
Yeah. And you'll be great. And maybe it might be easier that they're both younger.
Yeah.
And they're kind of doing the same thing.
Diapers.
And Malibu seems super sweet and easy. And is she? I don't know.
She is. She's so chill. She's definitely like Moses because I'm like chaotic and stuff like that. But he does like the hard parenting, I say, where it's just like he teaches her how to stay calm. I get like worked up. If like something goes wrong, I'm like, ah, and he's like, just go in another room so she doesn't get anxious. And you know,
You're so set. You are so set.
Yeah. So I'm confident for the second one.
Yeah.
You do it all yourself, right? You don't have.
A few times, like for a few hours a week, I'll have somebody help, but really we have our women who work at Pratt Daddy be able to come back and forth.
Okay.
Because Gunner, Abby, we called her Gunner's assistant.
Uh-huh.
She used to be his full-time nanny when we were doing the Hills reboot and all that. And then I just always want to spend as much time as I could. And I only work once in a while.
Right. You
know? So it's like, if I'm not working, I want to be with the kids.
Yeah.
So I'm really a full-time mom who works sometimes.
That's amazing. And that's like the best, I feel, with everything. I think it's amazing. You did the Hills reboot. Are you ever sick of talking about the Hills? Because I'm
Okay. Yeah. It's gone to a point where like, it's funny because, I mean, like, people are more affected about me talking about it than I feel like I am. You know, it's like, it's all.
Oh, they think it's just like your whole personality or something like that.
Yeah, they're like, oh my gosh, can you not stop talking about it? It's like, well, people ask me about it. So I don't know, but.
No, and it's like nostalgia. Like, now it's just it's like a classic now, which is like crazy because we're like the same age and I just remember it like it was yesterday. And now it's like literally a classic where people are like, it's on Hulu or something and rewatching it, which is like wild.
Right. There's a whole new generation of it. I was wondering about your CBB experience.
Yes.
So how was that?
Mine was horrible. I left after like 10 days.
You
I didn't stay.
You were so good though.
Wait, really? I feel like I just laid in bed the whole time. I went on because like people like you guys were on there and New York and Pamela Anderson was on one season. My season was like really like the last season before it was canceled and like I didn't know anyone. So I was like, this is enough. I thought I was going to be in with people like you.
Yeah.
So I was like, ooh, I'm going to get to meet all these people. And then I was like, oh, I don't know any of these people. So it just wasn't fun for me. And then I was just like laying in bed and I felt like it was. But you guys really played into like the villains of CBB, which is like Spencer does it so good, but are you ever like, I don't want to be roped into this because you're just so sweet and nice.
So it wasn't on purpose that we like fell into the villain role on it.
Yeah.
What happened was we were the first season ever because we watched everyone to be put in the dungeon. So right when we arrived, we weren't allowed in the house. We were sent to the dungeon, right? And we didn't have any of our stuff. And I was in this horrible sequins dress for days any of my makeup, without anything. They took like all your stuff. And we couldn't change and there was no showers. And so the rest of the house was up there and they were like, oh, that's so funny. They're in the dungeon. And we're like, oh, really? It's funny? In your luxurious house with your showers? And so they were off the top like, you know, and they didn't know we were watching them and we were all watching them and they were all like making fun of us and thinking how funny it was that we were stuck down there. And it really created this animosity.
Oh my God.
And then Spencer and I were like, F this show.
Right? From the beginning.
We were like, this sucks. This is really hard.
That is crazy.
And so we weren't like prepared for what it was, but it ended up being one of the best experiences ever. But we were like, we had each other and it was a team.
Yeah.
And so when the rest of the house went up to join the house, because they would bring people up one by one by winning a task, we're like, we're not turning on their hot water. We're not sacrificing ourselves. We're not coming up to meet them. Like, no. And so then when we finally got up there, it was like fun, but there was already this division created and it just ended up being a really iconic season.
Yeah.
But we were from the beginning very clear, like we're on our own team.
Yeah.
And you guys can all, and they were like, you know, fake with each other on and off. And we're like, we're not doing that.
Yeah. I feel like the show set you up to be that.
Yeah.
To be like, it's you two against the house.
Yeah.
Which is like, I never even, because ours did not have a dungeon or anything like that, but they just didn't give us like food and stuff like that. They were just for no reason. We didn't have like hot water. Like it was really weird. Because it's like a set too. The house isn't like a house. It's like a set. So it just is like, there's mice running around and just like, it was not pleasant. I don't know. We were at the end of it. So I think we got maybe the low budget version.
No, it's all like that.
Oh, okay.
It's all. Here's two. That's it. So it's a mind game, right? So you don't realize that they're strategically trying to like set you off and they're trying to like do all these dynamics and there's so much that goes into it. Did you ever see The Psychologist?
Oh, every day. They
That's
brought
the
him
best
in.
Out.
Yeah. was just like, I can't do it. I had a mental breakdown probably every hour on the show.
Well, that was the best part. But what you also didn't do, you didn't hide the liquor. And no. You didn't hide you got to like get the contraband basically. So anytime there's like chocolate or anything, you got to hide it.
Wait, what? How do you hide it? Like in your bed?
Yeah, or in your like stuff. You just didn't, you weren't playing.
Oh, well, then people hate you.
You got to make your own rules. No, I wouldn't tell them. I'm not sharing.
They didn't know that you hid it?
No. So we would just like take it all. And then it did, at the end, they kind of caught on and people were like, you know, but I would like hide the
Oh my God, that's so smart. Yeah, I had no food, no nothing. I was just like starving in there.
Got to be like Hunger Games.
Oh my God.
You know, you have to tap in. You're like, okay, I'm going to.
Had I known that's what that version was, I probably would have been more apt to be in it. But yeah, I think it was Jenna Jameson who said she was kosher. So she just got her own wine because she was kosher. Oh. So they're just like, this is only for Jenna. And I'm like, oh, that was so smart. I should have done that too.
So smart.
So you liked Celebrity Big Brother. But you guys, how long were you in there for? You lasted.
4 weeks. Oh, and then we went back and we did All Stars.
Oh, yeah. That's the one I saw was the All Stars. Because I was like, I didn't remember the dungeon thing. Okay.
They did try to recreate the dungeon with All Stars at the end. And then we got voted out. But then Spencer actually kind of got upset we were getting voted out. And I'm like, that was the plan. We want to get voted out because we're not getting paid more. And it's a week more of work. And then we get to be in London. And who knows when we're coming back. And they're going to pay for us to be at a hotel. So I was like, you're missing the plan.
Get out.
Yeah. I'm like, what are you? But he's such a winner at heart.
He just is competitive. I didn't know about the money thing. I think I did ask. I was just like, if I leave now, do I get the money? And they're like, you only get a quarter of the money if you leave. Like, they wouldn't give me the full thing. So I should have stuck it out and been voted out. But I didn't know that about the money thing.
And you can, like, set yourself up to get voted out, you know. So you just got to, like, play the
– I feel like I tried every week. I always said, I want to leave. I want – because they offered me a pizza to be up for eviction. I'm like, put me up for eviction. I want to be out. And no one voted me out. Yeah. And I think they did that on purpose to, like, torture me to keep me in there, all the people. Yeah, because I was like, please let me out. I was, like, crying and –
yeah.
I just evicted myself.
And whoever they pay the most, they're going to do everything to keep you as long as possible.
Yeah. Right? Our winner, I think they were planning her to be the winner the whole time because she never packed her bags. She was up for elimination every week and never packed her bags. And she definitely got the most because she was in a girl band and stuff. So, yeah.
Interesting.
But I feel like you guys two probably got the most on your season. I feel like I heard rumors of what it was. So they're probably like, we need to keep them because we paid for them to be here.
Yeah, they did. And then Richard Desmond, who used to own CBB and the network at the time, was like, I was keeping you in. You know, like, he's like, they obviously would vote you out, but I wanted them to keep you in. So
I think that's just, like, the rules of the game. I think they kind of just plan who they want. Was that your favorite of all the reality shows, except for The Hills? Like, you did I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, which, hell no, I would never do. How you did that. Because you guys were on the U.S. version.
Yes.
Which is, I remember you had the dry shampoo.
So we told Ben Silverman from the beginning, who was the chairman of NBC at the time, that we were going to quit right when we got there. And that was the plan. And he was like, great, I don't care if you quit. If you don't, you'll get – it wasn't like a lot of money at all. We weren't doing it for the money. And it was going to charity. And we're like, great, we don't have time. Like, I'm releasing my album. I have Miss Universe coming up. I have all these things going on. We're just going to go help launch it and get out. And he was like, great, great, great. We get there. And we're like, okay, I'm a Celebrity, get me out of here. And they're like, no. And we're like, no, we are leaving. And they're like, no, you have to wait and you need to go do this and that. And we're like, no, this was the plan. And then it would just
sideways.
And then Spencer was like climbing up these trees and it was like this whole thing. And then I'm crying and they won't let us out. It was just like a whole thing. But I do think I could do that kind of show better now. But it's hard being a mom. Like,
yeah, to be away.
Time. Yeah.
Could you do that now?
I think I could because Riker's so independent and loves Spencer so much and Gunnar. And Gunnar is like a protector in so much of his world. Mm-hmm. So I think he's more set up with Gunnar. I was very attachment mom and I never left him for a year straight. I didn't leave him. And then I didn't leave him with a babysitter until Abby was with him for 3 months, you know, and then I left for like an hour. So it was like really hard for me to separate myself from him, but with Riker it's like, okay, bye.
And he's fine with it. That's the best. That is amazing. That's how it is with us too. Malibu is so into Moses, so I'm just like, okay, I can leave. She wouldn't care. If he leaves, it's like pandemonium.
Right.
Yeah. So would you do I Love the Traitors right now? Have you been watching it?
I have. What network is it
Peacock.
On?
Peacock.
It is.
Okay. Yeah. It's so Peacock. You haven't watched it? You haven't seen
it? No, but I think I would love it because I love the challenge. And I just don't have time to watch freaking TV.
Never even at night when the kids go to bed.
No, because I have to clean. And then Riker's waking up at like 4:30 every morning. So I have to go to sleep.
Oh my gosh. You have no time at all.
So I have no time. So I literally put the boys down. I clean. If I have time, I'll have time with Spencer, you know, yeah. we can like catch up or whatever. And then I need to go to bed. And I have to be in bed by like 9:30. 10 Same is the way. Latest.
Yes.
Frick.
Oh, I go to bed at like 7:30 now. I'm just like 7:30. I'm up at like 5, but I'm like, yeah, I have to go to bed so early. We never have time.
I know. What time is Malibu waking up?
She's up at like 7 and she'll go okay. to bed. And she goes to bed at like 7, but we're on the same sleep schedule. So okay. she's in bed. I'm like, I'm going to bed too. You know okay. what I mean? And yeah. she sleeps. We co-sleep with her. So she sleeps with us. And so she just wakes up at the same time. I yeah. don't know. But with the new baby, I don't know what we're going to do. I'm just
so
like, okay.
that's what I did with Gunner. Yeah. I co-slept with him. And he still has sleep things at 6. And with Riker, I was like, I am not going down this route. I cannot do this with 2. So Gunner's like good in his bed. And then with Riker, I've had him in his crib since he was 4 months old. And I never did sleep training because yeah. I think that it's great for some people and whoever it works for. But for me, I just like couldn't
so hard
do it.
Yeah, we couldn't either.
Yeah, so I did sleep hygiene where he like didn't cry, but he would fuss. But he loves his own space from a very young age. And he sleeps in his crib and all night since like 4 months old.
Oh, I never heard of that. Sleep hygiene.
Yeah, so there's called Taking Care of Babies. Mm-hmm. And I heard about her from everybody. And my sister-in-law swears by it. And I saw the results. And I saw like, okay, he's really happy and he's thriving and he's fine. And everything's good. And I wanted to emulate that. And so I also have had like some consultations with their sleep experts. Uh-huh. Who I call often. They're like, hi, Heidi. I'm like, hi.
They know me. You on a regular basis.
Yeah. So I would check that out. And it was life changing. Because with the 2, it's
Yeah. We have to figure it out. Because yeah. I don't think she's leaving our bed. And I'm like, well, we can't have the other baby in there. So I don't know how we'll figure it out.
You need one of those like Egyptian
huge beds. Right. Oh my God, that'd be amazing. It's just hard to find sheets for those because we looked into that and I was like, oh, it's kind of hard. You have to get custom sheets.
Right.
It's like a whole thing. I feel like, yeah, doing 2 kids is like a whole other thing. But I love, I feel like that's another question I want to ask you is like, okay, you've been married. How long have you guys been married? Like 15 years?
15 or 16? Yeah, what? We got married when I was 20. Wow. So we've been together for 17 years. We've been married for 15.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So what? And especially because you guys are like an entertainment couple and like reality star, how do you like keep it together? How do you have it so long?
It's always just been that we get and love each other. Mm-hmm. And we always have fun. And I think that's a really important element is to enjoy life together. Because if you're not having fun, what's the purpose? Mm-hmm. I think it's really important also to like let things go quickly and not go back to like the past or like to communicate in the moment
yeah.
of situations and to be like really authentic with how you feel and then to be able to move forward.
Right.
Because if you keep like
harping on the past.
Right. Then what are you going to do?
Do you guys fight?
We disagree with parenting.
Really?
That's the most contention we've ever had.
Wow.
Just because things happen fast mm-hmm. and intensely. So sometimes your conversations feel intense mm-hmm. and have to happen quickly. So you have to communicate like, well, what happened here? You know, and it's like, oh my gosh, this is like feeling very intense.
Yeah.
And then later we can talk through it. But we don't really fight. We just like have to talk things through and like, okay, well, I feel this, you feel that, but we're not like a fighting.
Oh, well, then that's couple. Like a huge key, I feel, to that.
Yeah, so it's important. I feel like you can not fight. Like if you right. talk about things before, you don't have to fight.
Or like, you guys aren't like screaming, like yelling.
Never,
yeah.
We've never screamed at each other, oh, ever. Man. That's never happened.
I feel like that's like such a secret. How with kids now, because we find it hard too. We find it hard to make a second baby. I was just like, how do you have time? You know, it's like when she's like napping, yeah. I'm like, I guess it's time. But right. how do you find the time for each other?
Yeah, so you have to keep it sexy, right? You want to keep that romance going. I think that's also a really important element that a lot of people forget is intimacy is so important and needs to be kept up with weekly. You know, like I have friends that are like, oh, you know, weeks go by. I'm like, you can't let weeks go by.
I always hear this advice. Yeah. Yeah, so even like, if you're tired, they're like, just do it.
Right.
Yeah. Which like, you have to.
Throw on a song, have a glass of champagne, whatever it is. Yeah. But it's like, I think that's really important. And even if it's not for one person, it could be more for the other. Mm-hmm. And I feel like especially men, and maybe that's a sexist thing to say. I don't know.
I think that's very true though.
Yeah. So it's like, I think it's important to like make sure you're taking care of the other person. Yeah, so even if you're tired or whatever, find the time. Naps are good. Yeah. Right before bed is good. Whatever you can
exactly.
fit it in. It doesn't have to be a marathon.
Oh, yeah. I always say, like, if you get 15 minutes, it's good. You know what I mean? It's better than nothing. Right. I think that's, like, I hear that advice over and over, and I feel like that is it. I think that helped us so much because I was always so tired and stuff like that, and I was just like, okay, I can, like, Yeah. Get, and then I feel better. Everyone feels better, I feel, for it. You know,
like,
what I mean?
Check off the list.
Yeah. And I think that is, like, so important. Because I feel when you have kids, it's just, like, then you lose it. And it's, like, not good for anybody.
Right. And you kind of miss that, too. Like, even if you don't realize it, you know, affection, I think, is really important. Like, one of my love languages is definitely affection. Mm-hmm. And so you want, like, hugs and kisses. And I have to make sure, too. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I haven't even, like, hugged Spencer today. And I have to, like, check in with myself because I'm like, I'm feeling like I'm not getting enough physical love or whatever. It's like, well, I haven't even seen Spencer. So I need, like, go in the other room and say hi.
Yeah. And I think with kids, too, you give them so much affection. Yeah. And you're always, like, holding them and cuddling them that you, like, kind of forget, especially because, like, we've been co-sleeping, so we haven't cuddled in, like, 2 years, so we have to do it on the couch, you know, like 7 o'clock. I'm like, all right, we get 20 minutes of cuddling
right
and it helps, and that's why the TV helps for us. We're like, okay, we'll watch a show for, like, an hour and then go to bed, you know.
Absolutely.
What I mean,
but totally get that, and we love watching TV together and movies, and so if we can, I absolutely will.
Well, you have two. I think once I have two kids, maybe it'll be different. I'll just be tired all the time.
Right. But then also, like, there's pre-workout and there's other things. Oh, yeah. And, like, you can,
you were talking about that. You're like, I don't know if it's my pre-workout or what. You were saying, what were you saying? You said your third eye was.
My third eye is still pulsating.
What does that mean?
So it's just, they say it's, like, a spiritual third eye. But also, I think it's been proven that it's your frontal lobe, basically, is this a similar thing. I don't know. I'm not a scientist or a doctor. You can Google it yourself.
But you're into crystals and stuff. So, like, I was like, what does that mean to you?
So it never happens like this. It's really rare. So my front forehead is, like, pulsating, basically. And they say it's a spiritual thing. So I called Spencer. I'm like, is it my pre-workout or is it going to Trish's house? Like, what is happening?
Oh, really?
Right,
you called him? What did he say?
He was like, nope, it's not the pre-workout. That never happens
really?
To me.
But what? But it's a good thing, right, overall?
Yeah, it's a good thing. It's like a spiritual thing.
It's like opening up
thing.
Or something.
Right, right.
It's okay.
Like a whole thing. So I'm like, I'm going into a vortex. Like, where are we going? Venturing on this,
and
car
it's far from your house. I didn't realize, because we used to live close to each other, and then now you said you moved, so it's, like, a little far. I mean, it's a jaunt, and an hour drive is a jaunt, so thank
but
you.
It's nice driving up, and it's
really just beautiful. A little scenic view through the mountains and stuff. So you guys say you don't fight in real life, and not to, like, go back to the hills, but like, when you guys, obviously everyone now says it's fake, a lot of it was fake, the fights, or, you know, obviously the storylines where Spencer was dating other people, you're like, it's fake, it wasn't real. Did that bother you, like, in the moment? Like, how mentally do you deal with that? Like, just your mental health? It would, like...
Yeah, it was challenging because we would set up something before. And I would be like, okay, great. Yeah, you can, you know, the producers would be like, these girls are coming and Spencer's going to flirt with them. And then you walk in and then walk out and be there for 10 minutes or whatever. You know, and it was very set up. But then when you, walk in, my blood really started boiling. And I really would get frustrated and upset. And I'm like, why am I doing this? But then I'd be like, okay, I'm shopping in Gucci and Louis and I'm driving a Porsche and I'm making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And what does it matter? And I know it's fake. And but in that moment, it still is tricky because this really is the love of my life. And but it's like an actor role, but your real life. And so it was very hard. I definitely was relieved when The Hills was canceled. And I was like, okay, let's just move on with our lives. I mean, I was sad, a part of it for, you know, financially and everything, but it also felt like a relief at the time. And we saw Jersey Shore coming and they were blowing us out of the water with their numbers.
Really?
And Spencer said to all the cast, he was like, you guys need to step it up. We have Jersey Shore. And everyone's like, nobody's gonna watch that. They're so blah, blah, blah. And we're like, no, they're entertaining. They're smart. They're savvy. They're a crew. Like, they didn't understand what was happening, but they were all so egotistical with like their show. And, you know, it's like, you're only as good as the music they're putting behind you. I mean, it just, we didn't have a Jersey Shore crew. We had a lot of people who got lucky and coasted in, but no one was doing, like, the hard work that this type of crew was doing.
So. You mean your crew, not the cast? Like, the crew wasn't putting in the work?
I mean the cast.
Oh, the cast.
Yeah, no.
Really? Because I feel like you had, like, celebrities. I mean, you had, like, Brody Jenner and then Avril Lavigne. Like, it seemed like there was, like, Ryan Cabrera. Like, I feel like there was, like, celebrities at the time coming in.
Yeah, that's true. But I think that it's only as good as,
like, the main. Like,
Trina. And the time, too. Because it's like, well, that was great 2 years ago, but TV is moving and people's entertainment is shifting and you can't, like, rest on your loins. You need to step it up. And but nobody listened to him and we got canceled and they took off and are still on freaking TV.
Isn't that great? We were just talking about that new season with, like, their family now. I was just like, that's wild. It's amazing. Hopefully they're making money.
Amazing. Yeah. If you were to go on any show, what would you be on? Do you want to be a housewife? What would you be?
Ooh, I'm really bad at like also like fighting whether it's fake or not. And especially with like other women. I don't know. I would love to see you on that. I would be on it. Cause you know what? I'm a drama person at heart, but like I'm like, okay, now that I have kids, I've changed. But I think if it was for, like you said, a paycheck, right? I'm getting like $1 million. Yeah. I'm like, I could fight with some people, especially if they know it's fake. You know what I mean? I would love to. Yeah. I heard, I think you have to be like a little older. I think you have to be like in your 40s. Because my friend Gigi applied for, or she interviewed for it, and then she was a little too young. So I think they have to be like 40 or something, a little older to be on it. Would you go on it?
They won't have me.
Have you tried?
Yeah, they've put out things like Heidi and Snooki, and these type of people wouldn't be accepted on our platform because they were already on something else. And Andy Cohen made a whole statement how he would rather gouge his eyes out, and then he retracted it and said sorry. And then he recently just said, because we were talking about it on our podcast, and he recently just put out like, it's nothing against Heidi. I don't even know who she is. Something, I don't know.
Oh, he's kind of a mess. I truly don't know him. Like, I don't know the franchise. I don't watch it. Yeah. But I remember the Snooki thing, and he was like, oh, no, or whatever. There was a room where I was going to be on it, and I remember someone from, I think, Bravo or NBC immediately shut it down. They're like, absolutely not. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm not going to be on it.
Yeah, so, yeah, totally. I was like, never mind.
Yeah, but would you if, like, they were like, okay, please come on?
Of course.
Really?
I'd be so good. I don't understand.
Yeah, you actually would.
Whatever.
I just think you're just made for reality TV because I think from that show, from The Hills, I mean, you guys are the only ones that are like still around. Everyone's like still talking about, which maybe by choice, maybe they don't want to be, or I don't know what it is. Or...
Yeah, I think the reboot was kind of a mess. And that was like, it's hard because it's a cast of people who want to be successful and famous, but it's a cast of people who don't want to do any of the work. And they want like, no, you guys just be the ones that have conflict and we're all like perfect. It's like that. It doesn't, you're just an Instagram influencer at that point.
Right,
like,
yeah, literally.
It's not reality TV. You just can't do it like that. So it's just, it's tricky.
I wonder why they didn't understand that, because seeing how popular you guys were from the show, like how do they not all want to be what you guys were?
Because they just want, they don't want the reputation or the image that comes with that. And so they rather just have it be, you know, cookie cutter, image crafting. But, you know, maybe that was the better bet. They get more ads than I do.
Oh, do you find it now? I wonder that. Because now sometimes. I feel like you guys come across as so lovable. Like, everyone, like, loves you guys. You guys are, like, the internet mom and dad. But do you find it with brands? Because that's I find it with people, like, from my 20s. They're being like, oh, she's problematic back then. We don't want to work with her. Do you find that now?
So, actually, it's shifted a lot.
Yeah,
like, I feel. And then that, like, when I became a mom, it shifted a lot. But before that, it was a lot. Like that for sure,
which is crazy because you were on every reality show there was, but like brands or whatever just didn't. But you guys are with Spotify now. That's huge.
Yes,
that's so big. I went to Spotify before all this. We do this ourselves, and they were like, absolutely not. So I mean, at least, you know, you found a place that would have you, and we don't get ads. We have our Patreon, but it's like, so at least you found someone that gets you, and they're huge.
And YouTube.
Yeah. Oh, well, right? Yeah, YouTube.
YouTube have everything. Huge, I feel like.
Yeah.
So you, how did you get into YouTube, and how did you get into that whole world?
I probably, you had my dream life. Like, I think I just wanted to be famous. You know what I mean? Yeah. For, like, no reason. I loved, when I was in high school, it was, like, Anna Nicole, Girls Next Door. So I was just, like, or at the Osbournes. I was like, oh, I want to do that. And then when The Hills came, I was like, to me, it was like never even a thing where I'm like, oh, I want to be on that. Like that was, I thought everyone was just beautiful models. Like that was not me. So I just wanted to be famous. And I thought YouTube was just like a good route for that. You know what I mean? Like I was like 18 and I don't know. I just thought like maybe someone will see me, because people did cast me like America's Got Talent. Like people would call me from YouTube. So I thought, oh, this is the route to go or something like that. And then I was just trying to be like you guys, but like on a lower budget. I was just like trying to be problematic on YouTube by myself with no friends.
That's so great. And you have done such a great job at being successful and translating and making a whole like empire for yourself.
Oh, thank you. It's still a struggle. I feel like it's still, I feel like I'm still very much where I was, but just maybe a little more like elevated. I love to hustle. Like I love to make money anywhere I can, but I always admired like you guys because you do all the mainstream stuff, and I was like, God, I would love to. Like Celebrity Big Brother was probably the biggest thing that they offered me, and I was like, wow, that was really great.
Yeah,
but I would love to do reality TV again, like again watching The Traitors, and again, you guys would be great on there because there has to be like a traitor, and they're all villains. It's all villains from reality shows.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Okay. So I feel like it's all the ones from Big Brother, Survivor. Did you never did House of Villains? Did they ever ask you for that?
No.
No, Spencer either.
He did a hosting thing because I just had Riker and they were like trying to get him to do it and we're like, absolutely not. I just had Riker like 2 weeks before.
Oh.
And then they asked him to host, and so he came in a night to host, and then they threw him under the bus, completely made it look like he was trying to like join the house, but nobody knew who he was. But he knew everybody there. And when he really entered, everyone's like, Spencer. And they were all excited to see him, like Johnny Bananas and Corinne and everyone. And then the producers like turned it to be like, who? They made it this weird thing. And we're like, you paid him to come and host a night, not to be a cast member for the night. And so it was tricky. But if they offered me a great check, you never know. But it has to be a big check.
Yeah.
So I'm not really a villain.
Right. I feel like you got looped into that because of you guys are a team. You guys are a partner duo and stuff like that. No, I feel.
We both have the sparkle shoes.
I love it. Are those? Oh, you got Giuseppe's. Yeah. Mine are Keds because they're the only thing that fit my feet right now. They're really, really cute. No, I feel like reality like is definitely you're so great at it. But my favorite thing you do is singing. I love your singing career. The Miss Universe thing was insane. How were you? Were you signed or were you doing that independent back then?
It was a combination. So I was signed with Warner, but they wanted like a 360 deal, and originally I was going to sign with David Foster, and because Brody and Spencer just did Princess of Malibu, and so I went in with David Foster, and he had that song made by Cara DeGloria that I just released, that Touch Me, and we never put it out because I had an A&R at Warner come in, and they were like, okay, well, we'll do it a different way, and so I was with Warner. And I had Tommy Page, who was the A&R, and he got me Body Language, which was a Yaz sample, which was great. And then I was supposed to have Reach Out and Touch Me, and it was a song, and then they ended up giving it to Hilary Duff instead.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And so, but I like Body Language more than Reach Out and Touch Me, so I was like, well, that worked out. And then I was supposed to have from Ryan Tedder that song, Karma's a Bitch, and that was supposed to be song. And so then he like said it was mine, and Spencer got It's Too Late to Apologize on The Hills, which made it a cultural phenomenon. Yeah. He gave it to the music producers of The Hills.
Oh, my God.
And so we did that to Ryan Tedder as a favor because he was doing my music. And I'm sure it would have made its way on regardless because he was on his way to very big success, obviously. Right. So I'm not saying we were responsible for his success. But at that moment, with the song, with everything, it just was like the perfect storm. And so then after, he took the song, gave it to, I think, a boy group. And it didn't do well, but it would have been huge. On me. Then we had Higher, and I went into the studio with Theron, but we were funding everything at this point.
You so and Spencer.
Spencer and I were funding everything. So no we one took else. All of our money from The Hills, and I think we spent over $2 million on my album, and we had the best mixers, masters. I had Stacey Barth, who ended up writing later for Rihanna, like right after my album, and a few other people. We had LP, who's now she's like one of the biggest independent artists as well. I had Kathy Dennis, who wrote Toxic for Britney Spears, wrote Turn Your Head and Blackout. So we had an all-star of everything. You know, we had the best of, but we spent so much money on it. Then I went in to get all this surgery. Right,
iconic.
I had this universe.
Yes.
so we had worked on this forever. I went in to get the surgery. I didn't realize it was going to be so life-changing. And when I went into the doctor, he's like, it'll be a little of this, a little of that. You know, I was releasing my album. I had a lot to do. Yes. I wasn't planning on being recovering for a year. So, and it was free. I'm like, great, free surgery.
All the surgery was free?
All the surgery was free except the anesthesia.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, sure, great. Yeah. You know, I went in. I was like, if you could do anything, what would you do? And he's like, little of this, little of that. And blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, done. It's free.
10 procedures you did, right, in one time?
Yes. And so it went, but like one was lip filler and one was like.
Okay.
You know, so.
They made it such a big thing, like 10 at one. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Right. But it did take me a year to recover physically. So my album got completely overshadowed because I was supposed to be basically on tour. iHeartRadio asked me to perform. I wasn't physically able to. So who knows how successful my music career could have been if it wasn't completely overshadowed by
your surgery. Did you even think about it at all? Like, did anyone tell you, like, maybe wait, you know?
No, but first of all, we weren't asking.
Okay.
And everything was just so fast. And we're on the hustle and we're like, do this, do that. Okay, this will be quick. This will be quick, you know? And I already had my nose done and my implants, and it was like a 2-month recovery, if even. Yeah. So I was like, oh, this won't be a big deal. I'll get my nose redone. I'm getting my implants redone. That's minor. But when everything is added up, and I didn't know how painful your ears are to pin back and your chin getting shaved out and like everything, it just was like a mess.
What was the hardest to recover from? Was it, so you had your, can you say, because I remember the headlines, I remember everything, and you
looks so good. You had the pink bikini and like Vegas and everyone. And, but everyone was like, oh my gosh, look at this. Like, look at all the stuff that she's done. Like, it was like made to look like a freak or something. I was like so jealous. I was like, I want this. But first of all, you look so good. So it worked. But at the time, okay, so can you say all the stuff you've got done? Do you remember all the procedures?
So I don't fully know the exact, you know, whatever it's called. But I had a mini eyebrow lift. I had my lips done. I had my nose redone. I had my chin shaved down. I had my ears tucked back. I had my breasts redone. I had my back, like, scooped out. I had fat injections. I had lipo from my legs injected into my butt. Or I think that happened.
Yeah, they can do that.
Yeah, so. And
then that's hard.
I had a few things. But, yeah, recovering from one of those.
Oh, yeah.
But he was one of the best surgeons that's ever
I remember
lived.
Him. Yeah, he passed away. Like, I remember everyone went to him, and I was just
he was so good.
And he did so good. And lipo was hard. I had lipo, and I think I just had it, like, different times. But I remember it was, like, one of the hardest recoveries ever. But to have your face, because I've seen other people just go, it's like, that's. Were you, like, mentally still okay when you were, like, recovering? Was it just the physical that was, like
– No. I mean, when it's physical, it's mental, right? So they called Spencer at a point and told him that I died and he had to, like, come because it was, like, a Demerol overdose in the aftercare or whatever. What? So right after – so, you know, he's, like, recovering from that. And thankfully I had my security there because they were monitoring my – heart rate and everything. Yeah. And one of the security guys was a medic and he was like, she's not breathing. And so the nurses had to like come in and it was a whole thing. So that was hard to like even physically recover from. And then we had to have nurses at the house for like 3 months. And if I would have been told the recovery and what everything was going at that moment, I wouldn't have done it. I didn't have time to do it.
You know? Right,
I was
like
hustling. I don't have time to be doing that, let alone everything it would take. But I do think that it was a blessing in disguise to just really step back because as superficial as it sounds, it really dove me deep into life and death and what is important and what am I doing and what am I going to do after this. And when you can't talk because of your jaw and it just makes you like really – it was – really intense. And so it just put me into a whole different realm, actually. So I went in for a superficial procedure and I came out with like this spiritual kind of awakening. Yeah. And it just really centered me. And it was the ending of the hills. And it just felt like I almost shifted dimensions when I went into that place because I woke up and nothing was the same. And everything really was different. And so maybe I did die and I'm a different universe now.
That's crazy. I believe that stuff.
Who knows?
Did they really say you like weren't breathing? Like,
They called Spencer and told him I was dead. Yeah, so maybe I'm like in a different dimension now. I don't know.
You hear that happen all the time. No, surgeries, that is like the recovering process is like the hard part of it. You know, it's like all of that. You're like a shell of a person. It's weird they wouldn't tell you like, okay, this is a lot. You're going to need a lot of downtime. That's weird they didn't say anything.
Right. He's like, oh, in a few months, you'll totally be fine. And kind of, you know, glorified it. So I just wasn't prepared either. I wasn't prepared with even nurses in place and everything. And I was still filming the show and I had, my album coming out and I had my dry shampoo that I was launching from the jungle and that got canceled because they were like, we can't work with you. You're now like surgery girl. And that could have been millions of dollars on QVC. I had this huge deal.
What?
Yeah, with the sexy hair owner.
They couldn't work with you. What surgery doesn't have to do with your hair, right?
I guess they don't want like that image.
And they wanted you to be natural looking or something.
Or like not more neutral of it. I don't know. The surgery really was very polarizing. People were very
People like hated it. You were all like on the thing. People really came for you so hard.
Yeah.
Did you feel it? Were you feeling any of that? Or were you just like, I'm trying to recover? So you didn't even like pay attention to the magazines and stuff?
It was both because it was very in my face. And thankfully that was before Instagram and TikTok and social media. So I didn't have any comments and I wasn't reading things like that. But the comment sections were crazy. And I mean, Good Morning America came to the house and I had Juju and she was, you know, very intense about it. And what no one was considering was that I was a person who was recovering from this and they were just treating me like an object. I'm like, no, I'm suffering. I'm physically suffering. I'm spiritually suffering. I'm mentally suffering. Yeah. I'm having a hard time to live right now. And all people are doing are trying to tear me down and knock me down or get fame off of it. Or
it's actually so sick when you like look back at like the early Y2Ks, like that day, like Anna Nicole, all those people. It's like they really were so hard on her until she like ended up dying. And then now everyone's like, oh, she was an icon. We loved her. I'm like, right. But they were so mean to her at the time, you know?
Right.
Like you're lucky now you get to live to see people turn around and be like, oh, Heidi, we love Heidi and stuff. And she's so sweet. But at the time, they were like so, and it wasn't even about being baddies on the show. It was literally just you getting plastic surgery, and they were so mad about it.
Yeah.
And I was like, and also just for someone to go through that much surgery, I mean, they're already feeling some type of way about their body and insecure, and then you're making it feel worse by, I thought you looked great, but it was a weird time. It's like now it's like feminist people like, let her do what she wants with her body. But back then it was like girls, guys, everyone coming for you.
Right. And it was a lot.
Have you had anything done since?
I just had my breasts redone a few months ago.
They look good.
A few months ago. Thank you. They're fresh. Yes. They're new.
I love it. I need a fresh one. Mine's been 12 years.
They're great. I know. So that's what happened. Yeah. I actually wasn't wanting to get them redone. But after breastfeeding, the scar tissue was so bad because I did two. And then my doctor was like, I think you have a leak, actually. Mm. This is like pretty much an emergency. So you need to get this done now. And so I wasn't prepared. I wasn't ready.
Yeah.
But they're done and they're good and I'm on the mend. But it was really challenging with Riker not being able to pick him up for a few weeks.
Oh, like yeah.
4 weeks not picking him up.
Was that worth recovery time? 4 weeks before he could lift something?
Yeah. And that was very brutal. But I would sit down and be with him. But thank God it was when he was 13 months or 14 months, because now at almost 16, he's like so much wilder and
like running around and like grabbing them. I know. I want to get mine done so bad after this baby, but I thought about that too. I was like, am I not going to be able to hold them? Like it's a lot and the recovery and also just the risk. I'm like, back in when I was like young, I didn't care. I'm like, if I die, whatever. But now it's like, well, I have like kids, you know?
I had that thought and I kept saying to Spencer and he's like, you're going to the best surgeon in the world so you don't die.
Yeah.
He's like, you're paying to not die. Like,
yeah,
don't
they monitor. Worry about it. Yeah, that's smart.
So I literally went to the best surgeon in the world.
Oh my God. Well, you have to give me his name because I need to. Mine are so horrible right now.
Yeah.
And that is the curse of when you get the boobs. Some people just take them out completely, but then they're stretched out, they're whatever. And
I know, and I like them.
Yeah, me too. So. I'm such a...
I like them, okay? Leave me alone. I don't care.
I do too. I like so many people are taking it out. I totally support because they get sick and, you know, whatever. The styles are changing, but I've always loved the implant too.
I know. I went back and forth because I thought that. And I was like, well, if I want to take them out, I can at any point, but I can't put them back in.
Mm-hmm, right.
So if when I'm 60 and I want them out, then I can cross that bridge. But I like them and my clothes fit and
they're just fun. I know. And when you've had them for so long and also like our generation, they're just kind of like programmed to be like, implants are great. I still like them too. I love big boobs and stuff like that. So you're doing the surgeries. When is the paparazzi era of you guys doing paparazzi staged photos? Which I didn't know was staged at the time. I mean, granted, probably real paparazzi were following you, but you guys did certain ones like the pumpkins, which we recreated this year for Halloween. And I was like, I
loved that.
So many people loved it. And then so many people, like, I should have put side by sides because some people like just thought we were doing that on our own. And I was like, these are such classic Heidi and Spencer ones. Were you guys doing the stage ones before or after the surgeries, before or after the hills?
Before. So right from the beginning, right when Spencer and I met each other, we started doing that because he was in touch with the paparazzi agencies and he just was with Brody was just dating Nicole Richie and they were like always around the paparazzi and we weren't paparazzied yet. Like,
really?
Like Lauren would maybe once get paparazzied, but that wasn't like then.
Yeah.
And so then the real paparazzi started following us after my first surgery cover. And that was my first big setup and big Us Weekly cover. And then we'd actually try – sometimes we would get strategically paparazzi because there were 30, 40 paparazzi then. And it was – there's not that now.
Right.
They don't exist.
It's like iPhone, Hollywood Fix.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. It's so crazy.
Yeah, it's not the same.
And they were real photographers at the time too. And there were a lot of people from different countries here. And it was just different. And it was paying the bills for a lot of people. But it's actually unfortunate that there's not that. You know, that income for those people too, and that route, and just there's no magazines anymore. Everything that we used to do, that we were ostracized for and criticized for. Now everybody is doing A-list on their Instagram. It's like, okay, so you publicly criticized us and now you're on your Instagram doing it for free?
I know. You were ahead of your time.
You were making millions of dollars at the time. So
were you working together? Like if they sold your photos, you would get the that's so smart.
So we would set up photos and photo shoots and, you know, sometimes they would bring props for us and then we would get a percentage of the money.
Oh my God.
And then they would. So also I have heard that other people, such as like Kardashians, would do that too.
No way. Back then. So smart.
So that's what I've heard from paparazzi agencies.
Oh my God. Yeah. Why wouldn't everyone do that if they're going to take the photo anyway?
Well, Courtney asked my sister, because my sister used to live in Hollywood. She's like, what are Heidi and Spencer doing? We're going to copy them. Like right when The Hills came on and she was with Scott, and you know, they wanted to do what we were doing because it was working so well and it was making money and we were so successful, and it was part of the reason we were always in the magazines, because we had the best quality photo. We were smiling. It was always for the holidays or timing it strategically, and we were making a lot of money doing it.
So smart. And were the Kardashians the same time, or were they a little after The Hills?
They were at the end of The Hills. So like Kim came on and organized my closet for one of The Hills.
Oh, things. I don't remember
that. They later came out and said that she never did that and that we were lying. And then MTV released the footage of her.
I love that.
And we're like, why would we lie about Kim not making the cut?
That's so weird. Why would they? That's so odd.
I know. It made me think too. I'm like, if you're lying about something that's on tape, like, what? Okay, whatever.
Right, no. But you always, there's always that stuff. It's like the sex tape and stuff. There's like papers that came out of her, like signing it over and stuff like that.
Interesting.
I'm scared to talk about them because I feel like Chris has like control
don't
over everything.
Me.
Yeah. Like your TikToks are down, this episode's down. They're like, whatever. Because they really do. You hear about that like on TikTok too. They're like, my TikToks are down about the Kardashians. They really control so much, which is like crazy. But it's good for MTV. They were just like, we're going to put it out.
I loved that. I was so glad when they did that. I was like, why? One thing we're not are liars.
Right.
So you can call us, or me, or whatever, fame whore, surgery girl, whatever. But one thing I'm not is a liar.
Yeah, I mean, that's good. Yeah. That's, you know, and you have the receipts to back it all up because your whole life is being filmed.
Totally. It's not like,
those were so good. I love it. The one today, I have your pink tracksuit on. I sent you the one with you by the pool. I was talking with Morgan about it, where we're just like, oh, you by the pool, and you were like looking sad. Was that after like supposed to be like a breakup or something like that?
Yeah, that was our fake divorce. I don't have a pink tracksuit anymore.
What?
I know.
It was so iconic.
I know. I don't have it. So I was literally like, what do I have that's pink? I'm like, I have a pink sweater.
This is so perfect. No, it is actually so cute. Yeah. Well, I was just telling you so you didn't think I was like weird, because you said you're bringing your photographer. I was like, well, just so you know, I'm dressed like you. I didn't want you to think I was like weird or anything like that. No. So I was like, I thought that was such a good one. So you did a fake divorce.
Yes.
Wait, someone recently did a fake divorce. Who was it? Austin and they're trying to be like you. Do you know Austin McBroom and Catherine?
Spencer and I are racking our brains if this is fake or not.
I think it's is I everyone think it's fake. I think Catherine did say like the RV was fake or something. I think it's all because there's no divorce papers, right? Like you would see everyone can get the divorce papers if it's filed.
Yeah, and he's being so like, do you watch his Snapchat?
I see it just on. I'm not on. I need to get on Snapchat. Okay. I'm banned from Snapchat, so that's why.
Are you?
I think I posted something about an OnlyFans one time, and they like banned me. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I tweet them all the time. Like, can I have my account back? Yeah, I kind of live for it. So when you were Snapchatting, I was like, I love it, but I also like, oh, I'm so sad. I can't be on it.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they never. And we talk about it every episode. I'm like, can you please have me back? Because they put clips of me on there. They advertise me, and I'm like,
I'm gonna ask Quincy. Do you have a contact?
No. I know no one. I have zero connections. But if you do, I apologize. I was like, please let me back on. I'll ask. Even for fun. I know people make like so much money, like Austin McBroom. I think that's why he's doing it, because I know people make
big. He's making like 50 grand a day or more.
I know, really?
Yeah,
It's like, because I know even TikTokers come on, they'll say they make $1,000 a day on Snapchat. Is it ads? How does it work?
It's ads. So now they've integrated ads.
So smart.
And it's hard though. You know, it's like sometimes if you have a story arc, or at least for me, like my implants just did really well. I did the whole surgery, like going in.
No.
And the good thing too with Snapchat is it doesn't quite hit the radar of Daily Mail and stuff
like
that. I
never hear about it, yeah.
So you get this secret kind of world almost, you know.
I don't know anything that's happening on Snapchat. When you just said all that, didn't know you had your boobs on, didn't know you could post that on Snapchat.
That's
crazy. So who's filming you, like, going in?
Mostly me. I did have Abby film me, like, go into the surgery. But I have, like, I'll show you my
– how many snaps do you have today? Because you've been snapping, and
so,
I love
it. I always
it.
Feel like I'm snapping so much, and then it's, like, 20 stories. I'm like, ugh.
Okay, so how many snaps
do
you
have? So here's my surgery.
Oh, you can save them.
Yeah, so now they have, like, stories. So, and then I have my surgeon.
Oh, my gosh. You're posting everything. Oh, of course this did so well. Are you making, like, $1 million off this?
Not quite.
Oh, my God.
But it's, like, they don't want this kind of content.
Why?
Because
it's medical. It's not like you're being sexy.
I was like, it's not. Yeah.
You're like, look at this. Nobody's. Look at my drains. Oh, my gosh.
So, I'm at how many stories today? Only 30, see?
How many are you supposed to have? That's so many. I'm thinking like Instagram stories,
so I have like
30.
Like 100.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like 70 to 100 a day.
Oh, so that's why Austin's doing all that.
Yeah, yeah. And that's why he had that whole funny content with like that girl coming over.
Oh, Shadi Bae. Or who?
Is that the air conditioner?
Yeah.
That was so funny.
It must be all fake for that if you're getting money off of it and stuff. Yeah,
so I think so. I think he's just making a show, but who knows?
I mean, yeah, I guess smart. I guess like, it's so weird to see people kind of like emulate you guys because so many people like gave you so much shit for it. And now everyone's just trying to like make a name and.
Right. And it's like we were just hustling. So I never understood where that respect didn't come from. Like obviously what we're doing is working. It's translating. We're making a lot of money. We're not harming anybody.
Right.
But it was just this, like, don't let it happen type of thing. And, you know, I think that Paris Hilton kind of got that in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then people really embraced her, but they loved her. But it was also, she was more accepted because she grew up in that world and was, like, really rich. And I don't know. It was kind of like a different transition.
You guys came out of, like, nowhere. So it was just kind of like, okay, who are these people? Yeah, like, why are they so famous?
Yeah. No, we're not.
Don't happening. Give them money. Stop. Right. Wasn't there something like stop making Spidey famous?
Yes. On what is E. That? E banned us when the car. So our stories and everything used to do the best, right? Then they would cover everything we do. And it was like we were bigger than the Kardashians on E with our numbers and with the likes on posts and everything. And so them with Ryan Seacrest decided to, or not them, but like the teams at E decided to stop covering us and ban us from E and did that for like 2 years.
Gosh.
I know. We're like, who do you ban? Like, that's ridiculous.
What does that mean, ban? Like, no coverage of you guys?
Right.
How did you find that out? Just through that
they
campaign?
They said it. They publicly were said.
Oh, I didn't know that was the campaign of it all.
Spidey, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think it also, my conspiracy is that it had to also do with the Kardashians because that was their reality show and that's the content. And that's when Kim started being really big and like, you know, so they were like, forget.
They didn't want the competition Spidey. Of it. Yeah. Wow. That is wild. And then how long did you guys ever take a break? Because you guys did have like this comeback, I feel like Spencer with his crystals and then he was recapping the hills and now with your music. Like, was there like a break that you guys took or were you just more like taking a backseat to things? Because I feel like we didn't see you for like a few years. I don't know if it was you were having babies or what, but when was there a lull or was it just like for you guys, you were like regrouping?
The Hills was canceled and we moved to Malibu. But the checks stopped. I mean, they could have kept coming, but we kind of lost our hustle because I was recovering still.
The surgery,
The surgery was still really hard. And we moved to Malibu. And we weren't talking to either of our families at the time. Mm-hmm. And my surgeon just died. And my lawyer was just, like, committed suicide or died. Oh, and I just felt like someone's trying to, like, come after us, basically.
Yeah.
And I was like, we need to leave. Like, let's get out of the country. Let's move. Let's be done with this.
Wow.
And we moved to Costa Rica. On a jet, and then we took all of our stuff, and we only had money for a one-way jet and the hotel there. And then we're like, we're stuck in Costa Rica, basically.
What?
Yeah, we're like, we have our dogs.
This is a show. It's so a reality show.
Yeah, it's like a whole thing. If we had TikTok and Instagram back then and Snapchat, we would have made so much freaking money. And so then we were there for like a month. And we ran out of money and we thought we need to get back. So we did like this life and style cover and it paid for the check. But also Playboy offered me a second cover to show things because I hadn't shown it.
Right.
And it was like $500,000. But I said no because I just was really conflicted with like my religion and I felt like I was already pushing it. And then I felt like, well, what if I have boys and then there's photos and I don't want them to get teased. And I don't know. I just was like really – it was really hard. It was a really hard decision.
God, yeah.
And Spencer brought that up the other day. He's like, here's the email. And I was like, that money would have been gone anyways.
Right.
You know,
that's so
the opportunity's gone. All right.
Wait, was he for you? Was he supportive?
He
of
was
you doing
supportive
it?
Of whatever I was choosing.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm fully supportive as a Playboy fan.
Yeah.
Basically.
Oh, Playboy
you know?
Was everything
it
in that
was
era.
Everything.
Yeah.
It was.
And you looked like a Playboy. You look like what now? Like, it's like, how would I just, it makes sense.
I know. I think, yeah, it's hard. I don't know if I got that offer now, what I would say again. Like, that's a really hard choice.
Yeah. And $500,000 was a lot now, but it's a lot back then too.
Right, totally.
So, and it was just to be topless or full naked.
No, it was full.
And you were like,
full
no.
naked. So I was like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
Oh,
but anyways,
wow.
We got the life and style cover and then we got our jet back. And then we ended up being at Spencer's parents' beach house for 7 years almost. in Santa Barbara.
Oh, okay. So that's where I thought you were living. Yes. Yeah. And when did you guys move from there?
And then we moved from there when I was pregnant with Gunner. And we bought a house in the Palisades, and then we lived there. So,
oh my gosh, that's amazing. Oh my gosh, you guys in Costa Rica. Why did you take a jet back and forth? Why didn't you just take like commercial?
Because we had four dogs and we had like all of our stuff. We were moving, right? Oh, okay. Like it was a moving, busy U-Haul.
Got it. Okay. Like, that makes everything sense. In there, it seems like a very expensive.
Yeah.
I've never bought a private jet ever, like rented one for anything because it seems expensive. Like Vegas is like $10,000. So I can't imagine Costa Rica.
It was, it was a lot.
Kind of, and you guys didn't film any of that, like the private jet there?
No.
That's content.
I know.
Oh my gosh.
Well, we have so many tapes and we don't know where they are. We used to film like everything on tapes, It wasn't like the iPhone. There was no iPhone.
What were you filming on?
Like real VHS cameras.
I feel like that was like before that time.
Well, there were chips, right? So you have like the...
Oh, I see. And you guys like put them onto like
a drive.
Okay.
It's like a whole thing.
And you don't know where they're at?
And now like, I know a lot of it's gone. Oh
my God. It's like Pam and Tommy. Someone's going to come steal it. They're going to find them.
Good thing there's nothing ever.
That's true. You guys have never been like provocative that way. Like you've never been like raunchy or anything.
No.
Which is like something I guess I would just assume because you're like blonde and you have like the song Superficial and stuff like that. Yeah. So you've never done nudity.
No.
And you think now you would never...
I don't know. Yeah.
Because, like, your Snapchat you post, I mean, not that it's, like, again, it's not sexual, but you're, like, you're not ashamed of anything.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's, yeah, it's tricky, right?
Because you said you, you said you're religious.
Yeah. So, I'm religious, and then I already feel like I, like, push the, so many limits on that, and it's, like, well, I don't know, God, you know.
Do you think, what did you do that you think was scandal, like, anything blasphemous or anything?
Yeah. I think that surgery gets tricky, right? And I have, like, a lot of... Like, I'm not Christian enough to be a Christian singer, I've been told. So I put out a song called Glitter and Glory, which was, like, a Christian song. And the Christian label was, like, you're not Christian enough to keep doing Christian music.
A Christian label told you that?
Yes. And they were – so they were the ones who, like, put it out. And they, like, filmed it on the Hills reboot and everything. And then they were, like, our whoever it is – our DJs and all the people like we've talked to say you're not a Christian enough to be a Christian singer.
Oh my God, that's wild.
I know.
That's
like, okay.
Oh my gosh, that is crazy.
You don't go to hell. Judgmental.
That is. Isn't that so crazy?
Don't you worry about yourself.
You haven't even done anything crazy.
I know.
That's so
I was like, so.
Oh, so what happened with the song then? Did you?
So it's out. I called my manager to be like, should we make sure that they've recouped by now and maybe, like, take it down or, like, where are the royalties?
Oh, you haven't gotten anything from it?
No.
Would you ever put out another Christian song?
On my own.
Yeah.
If I were to do that.
My number one song, the only song I make music off of is I Love You, Jesus. And it's,
I was listening to that this morning.
I really did want to be a Christian singer. I had, like, 5 or 6 Christian songs. I really was into it, you know?
I loved it.
I think Christian music's good. I love it. Just all of it. Like, I love the God's Not Dead soundtrack. You know, like, all that stuff is, like, it's fun. And I think someone like you, it just makes it, it's like Tammy Faye Baker, you know, just giving, it's giving glam, it's giving God, it's giving everything.
Like
people
Dolly Parton, I love her, right? She is everything. Mm-hmm. She is sexy and pretty and funny and Christian. Like that is the all-American.
Yes. I'm trying to be. Big boobs.
Yeah, totally.
She loves Jesus. Right. She has a great song. It's called Jesus and Gravity and it's so good. It's like one of my favorite Christian songs. She's like, she's so spiritual. I love Dolly too.
I love her.
That's like, goals right there. Totally. So with your new song, the Touch Me song, are you doing a music video for it?
That is definitely in the works. And that's what we're talking about. So I'm debating with like new music and old music. And it's like, well, I spent so much money on my old music and I never did visuals for it. So do I just go back and do the visuals?
Yes.
Because I'll Do It has on TikTok almost 1 billion streams.
No.
And so what happened was somebody uploaded my song and was monetizing off of it. And so those streams were mine, but not. And so they're like, well, on the back end, it says 999 million or whatever. And we're like, well, then it needs to be on the front end because I'd be the top song or one of the top songs on TikTok. So really, my song is one of the top songs on TikTok and it wasn't popular under this other person's name. So Spencer has been working on this for months.
Yeah, trying to
collect
it. And
we have a screenshot, of it being like almost 1 billion views. And in China, it's at number like 90 on their charts.
How does it get over to China? Because they don't even have YouTube.
They have Doujin? What's it called? Douyin?
We were just talking about this the other day, like what they have. I don't know. We don't know. We were trying to figure it out.
So it is TikTok. Yeah. Oh. So they have – their TikTok is everything. All their famous people are from their TikTok, and it's called Donyan or what, however you pronounce yeah. it. And on that is my top song.
Oh, my gosh. And,
but they have – in China, that's their whole world. Like, their money is from it. Their stars are from it. Like, so that's the – you shop on it.
Wow. It's their whole –
that's all, like, the, all their
social media in one. Have you ever gone over to China?
So we're in talks with TikTok about them flying us oh to China.
You would be huge over there, I bet.
I'm like, okay, I'll move to China.
Oh, my God. Would you? Would you take your family?
Bring all to China.
You just start touring China and right. become huge.
I'm like, whatever pays the bills.
Oh, my yeah. gosh. That's where it is. I feel like Paris Hilton did that in Japan. She was kind of big in Japan. She yeah. went over there. Bart Baker, he was a YouTuber. He got big in China, too. He, like, went over there and became, like, a pop star. But, like, you're so known, and I feel like that makes so much sense for you. There's Disney over there. There's, like, a whole world yeah, over there in China. Yeah,
wherever they're paying.
Oh, my gosh. And so are you getting money now from that song on TikTok, or you're in the process
yes,
of it?
Yeah. Okay. So it's a whole
– so you should do – you definitely need to do a music video for that.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. A visual for I'll do it, because that's my biggest one. But then I also have the producer of that whole album. He did almost my whole album. And he just sent me a track last night that is – the new I'll Do It basically equivalent, and it's really good, and
really?
So I'm very excited about that too, but we'll see. So I'm doing new music, and then I also want to go back to the visuals for yeah. the old,
because also it's just like, again, the nostalgia of it all. Everyone loves the early 2000s right. and just seeing your performance of like Miss Universe, like all those Superficial, because Superficial is so good. We did the TikTok duet. I'm like, God, that song is so good. And it's just like, I feel like that should also be TikTok viral, just because all the stuff you're saying in it is like so amazing. And I'm so excited for Touch Me. I'm so excited for everything, because you're working with Kate Harrelson, right?
I love Kate. I love that you know Kate,
yes.
too.
We followed each other. I don't know how. She might know. We used to DM each other. Did she have something with Ben Affleck? I don't know. Something happened.
It was Matthew Perry.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So I remember it was something. I was like, you know, I support you, because she's like a young girl, whatever. Yeah. You could cut in whatever. And then I saw you guys working together, because I like follow her, and I was like, oh my God, that's so cool.
Well, she worked for us at Pratt Daddy for like 2 years.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. So she was like working with us, and then she went back to school, and then now she's doing like PR and other things. But she connected me with somebody else who was doing music, and yeah, but I love Kate. And so she was like, she has a key to our house. You know?
Oh my gosh, I love it. You have like a whole team.
We're like very, yeah. She's...
I know, you had sent me a DM, and if you ever still want me to do a song with you, I was so excited. I don't know if that was like real or not.
I know.
I was like, yes, tell me.
Yeah, I know. I would love to do that. So I'm just trying to like figure out, a plan and music and how to get there. But I was like, that'd be so fun to do.
Is that your passion, music?
Yes. And that's what I always wanted to do. And that's what I saw myself doing. And so that was our game plan, right? When The Hills was ending, we're like, well, great, I'm going to transition into music anyways. That's what I've really been doing. I have Miss Universe, I have my album lined up. So that was our plan, and it just all fell through with the surgery. But who knows, I could have been really successful.
Yeah, like a Britney. But I feel like it could definitely happen now, because people rally behind you so much harder now, and like, you are, because you have stood the test of time, and you like, you're iconic now. You know, I feel like when you don't go anywhere, people are like, okay, we love this person. You know what I mean? Because so many people just like give up or fade away whenever, and like, whatever. But you guys have been around, and people love you.
Thank you.
And I think that's like so exciting. And I love your podcast. I love all, like, you just really do everything. You say you only work part time, but I feel like you're everywhere and doing so much.
It's true. No, I am like a full time mom and worker. Yeah. I feel like it's part time just because I'm full on mom.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, I do work a little bit like each day, you know, so it is like the balance. And when opportunities come, and, you know, we're in talks for several different shows, and we're always in talks for our own show, but we're still in talks for our own show.
Would you do it as a docu-follow? Like your life?
Yeah,
you would.
Yeah, of course. But it's it's just, if everything like comes together, you know, everything's so tricky right now with streaming and networks, and
the
money is just different. Yeah, the deals are different. Mm-hmm. So TV is different. Everything is just changing, and with social media, and with streaming and strikes, and I mean, it's just a different world, and media keeps changing and evolving, and it's nothing you can fight. You just need to change with it and figure out how to thrive and be successful. And we have our crystal company, you know, Pratt Daddy Crystals, and Spencer goes live on TikTok and does like live shopping. So join him on Pratt Daddy TikTok. Get your crystals.
We love Pratt Daddy.
Yeah, thank you.
I had met him a few years ago, just like briefly at like the Shorty Awards, and he was literally like the nicest person, which you would not. Again, I didn't think, you know, you just hear certain things. He's so nice. Took pictures with like everyone. It's like the Shorty Awards, something in New York, and I was like, love him. But you guys together are like iconic duo. Thank so you. I think you should hold out for like the big deal for shows because
if deal, anyone little deal, any deal.
I feel like if anyone can adapt.
TikTok show.
Oh my God, that'd be everything.
Whatever.
I love that you're open to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we're just
I love hustling. It. I love the hustle and I love that you're just passionate about it still. Like, you know, it's like 20 years later and you're still like, yeah, we love it.
We're not giving up. We love, you know, at the end of the day, Spencer and I are both show men, like yeah, show people, you know, mm-hmm, we love Hollywood, we love entertaining, we love the whole culture of it. So I think that's another reason. It is just a passion and it's fun and it's been such a blessing to have all the opportunities that we've had and everything. I mean, I still have the number one Us Weekly cover that ever sold. And I used to pray about it. No, it was my calling off a wedding.
Wow.
So we just used to get so many covers and they would continue doing it and pay us for the covers, but also because amazing, we sold so well. We yeah, were like one of their best sellers and I would pray so hard over it. And I'd be like, God, please, I just pray your anointing over this cover and that it would be the best seller. And it really was the best seller. And I was like, God, okay, thank you, God. You know,
so that's a Christian song right there. It's like I prayed for a best seller and I got it. And I think totally, it's so real. It's so
yeah,
true. Do you have them all framed?
We do.
I love that. I saw Kim Kardashian had that, all her covers framed. But I'm like, I feel like you probably have more with all
oh,
your.
No, I saw her wall and I actually felt shamed. I was like, oh my gosh, I have none.
But really? Like, I want to see yours.
Oh my gosh, she is like everything. I was like, I'm like 10 or whatever, but
I think you should definitely do one of those. I liked your, you know, that I'm Heidi, I'm Spencer, you know, I think you should do a Kim Kardashian one like that where you show all your magazine covers. I think that'd be such a flex. Your guys' giant photos behind you too are always such a flex. Yeah,
those
I love
are
it,
good. I love those.
I think you're such an icon. Thank I can't believe you, you're here. I can't believe thank all of you, this. I know you have to go pick up your son, but I was like, I could talk to you for 3 hours more, but Heidi, you are literally, I can say you, the most iconic guest we've had so far.
Oh,
I'm
gosh,
shook when you said yes. I was just like, oh my gosh. So thank you so much. Taking pictures with you and doing TikToks has been a dream come true.
Yes,
so
thank you.
Yay, check out Heidi. She's on TikTok. She's on Snapchat. She's literally everywhere. So
thanks. Probably on the street in front of you. I'm just hustling everywhere.
She's and that's why we love you. Yeah, you are the absolute you, best. The blonde thank bombshell you, herself, Heidi. Thank you for being here.
Thank
and
you,
we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Thank
bye.
You.